From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, highlight of the week, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Here is the news, first the headlines. Vice President wants interfaith walk to be routinely organized in every province, and the Environment and Forestry Ministry confiscates 17 containers of illegal timber in Surabaya. And now the news in detail. Vice President Ma'ruf Amin has called for routine organization of interfaith walk in every province to promote harmony among followers of existing religions in Indonesia. He also specifically asked for organization of interfaith walk in Indonesia's easternmost province of Papua to unite all Papua people and develop peaceful Papua. VP Amin said after joining the first interfaith walk on MH Tamrin Boulevard in Central Jakarta on Sunday, "Interfaith harmony is the main element for the promotion of national harmony." He believed that the interfaith fun walk would strengthen the national unity and prevent any disunity attempt. The Environment and Forestry Ministry confiscated 205.9 cubic meters of illegal timber stored in 17 shipping containers at Tanjung Perak Port, Surabaya, East Java Province, the Ministry's Law Enforcement Directorate General stated in Jakarta on Saturday. The illegal timber comprising amboina wood or Pterocarpus indicus and ipil or merbau or Insia spp had been shipped from Seram Island, Maluku, the Director General Rasio Rido Sani noted in a statement. Before being transported to Surabaya, the illegal timber stock was shipped aboard a boat to Wahai Port in central Maluku. The logs allegedly originated from the Manusela National Park in Seram Island. Before raiding the containers, the ministry had received an intelligence tip-off on the illegal timbers. If the alleged illegal loggers were found guilty, they would face several sanctions in line with Law No. 41 of 1999 on forestry and Law No. 18 of 2013 on prevention and elimination of deforestation. The government of East Nusa Tenggara Province presents application-based financial services of financial technology or fintech to support the efforts of local communities engaged in marine and fisheries. The head of the Maritime and Fisheries Service of East Nusa Tenggara Province, Ganef Wurgianto, in Kupang on Saturday said that he had provided the fintech service specifically for maritime affairs and fisheries, and it was first applied in Kupang City some time ago. He explained that the application technology-based financial access service aims to make it easier for the people who have often complained about the difficulties in accessing credit from banks. Police have named 18 suspects in the suicide bomb attack at the Medan City Police Station in North Sumatra Province on Wednesday. The suspects were currently being interrogated at the Mobile Brigade Command Station of the North Sumatra Provincial Police. Chief of the North Sumatra Provincial Police, Inspector General Agus Andrianto, said on Saturday. While investigating further into the case, the National Police's Counter-Terrorism Squad Densus 88, in cooperation with the North Sumatra Provincial Police, seized items of evidence including firearms, pointed weapons, a series of bombs, and several explosives. The joint team will investigate further to trace other suspects in the suicide bombing. The suicide bomber, believed to be a 24-year-old male, identified by his initials as RMN, blew himself up at the Medan City Police Station on Wednesday, November 13th, resulting in injuries to 6 people, though no fatalities were reported. Shortly after the incident, the police searched the suspect's house and questioned his wife and his parents. The police officers confiscated some pieces of evidence, including 2 green baskets containing dozens of arrows, a pole, and some documents. Arara Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian men's doubles badminton player Muhammad Ahsan Hendra Setiawan successfully advanced to the finals of the Hong Kong Open 2019. In the semifinals at the Hong Kong Coliseum on Saturday, November 16th, the Indonesian men's doubles defeated Li Jun Hui and Liu Yu Chen from China 21-13, 16-21, and 21-16. In the first game, Ahsan Hendra immediately played aggressively raining attacks on the Chinese men's doubles. Li Liu also struggled to fight the game, pressing Muhammad Ahsan Hendra Setiawan. A fierce battle was also shown by the two couples in the third game. As many as 10,900 local and foreign runners joined the Borobudur Marathon 2019 on Sunday morning with start line at Taman Lumbini Borobudur Temple Complex in Magelang, Central Java Province. Some 300 foreign runners joined the race camp from 16 countries, including Malaysia, Singapore, Kenya, Japan, and the United States. Divided into 3 categories, 2,300 people had joined the full marathon, while 4,300 runners each raced in half marathon and 10K categories. During the marathon trip, Central Java Governor Ganjar Pranowo, who released the marathon sat, the runners could enjoy the sight which will come along with many surprises. The last item. For the first time, an Indonesian language speech was competed nationally in China on Saturday, November 16th. The competition was participated in by 26 participants divided into 2 categories. The competition held at the Beijing Foreign Studies of University Library Building or Beijing Waiguoyudasui or BFSU was taken part by Chinese students majoring in Indonesian language study. Every university with an Indonesian language study in Beijing, Tianjin, Guangdong, Shaanxi, Jilin, Yunnan, Guangxi, Zhejiang, and Hainan sent representatives to compete in the 2 categories, namely the basic level and the advanced level. Before the competition began, the Indonesian ambassador to China, Jauhari Oratmangun, and the Chinese ambassador to Indonesia, Xiao Qian, also gave a message of encouragement to the participants via teleconferencing video. BFSU counselor Yan Guohua said he was honored that the campus was chosen as the venue for the competition. He said this competition was not only for competition, but also as a glue for communication between the 2 nations. And listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This week's spotlight is on President Hopes for Central and Regional Synergy. President Joko Widodo officially opened the Advanced Indonesia National Coordination Meeting and Central Government and Regional Government Communication Forum 2019. The event was held at Sentul International Convention Center, Bogor Regency, West Java, on Wednesday, November 13th. When delivering his remarks, President Jokowi mentioned that this meeting was the most complete meeting attended by both central and regional government elements. The president hopes that the central and regional governments can work together well in order to succeed the great agenda of the Indonesian people. In his speech, the president said job creation is one of the big agendas of the government at the moment. In line with the development and capacity building of human resources, the government is also trying to increase investment, which will also contribute to opening up wider employment opportunities for them. For this reason, the president requested that the investment climate must be improved. He asserted, if there is an investment that wants to enter an area, then all parties must provide support and services for investors so it can be realized immediately. According to the president, the big problem affecting the investment climate in the country of Indonesia is the complexity of licensing for investment. Therefore, there is no other way for Indonesia to improve this licensing matter. Slim and straightforward regulations will enable governments to move quickly and become more flexible in responding to global changes. Meanwhile, Minister of Home Affairs Tito Karnavian, in his report, said that the National Coordination Meeting was attended by nearly 2,700 participants. It was themed Synergy in Implementing the 5 National Development Priorities to Achieve Advanced Indonesia. As is known, during the inauguration of the President and Vice President for 2019-2024 period on October the 20th, President Joko Widodo conveyed 5 big visions that will be carried out in his administration with Vice President Ma'ruf Amin in the next 5 years. The 5 priorities include infrastructure, human resource development, investment, bureaucratic reform, and the use of the state budget on target. According to Tito Karnavian, this event was held with the aim to emphasize the vision of the President and Vice President and to equate the perception of the vision of the development of the central and regional governments. Tito hopes that there will be synergy between the center and the regions and a common vision with the aim of building an Indonesia that is moving forward. That was this week's Spotlight. Today in history, I'll begin with November the 17th, 1950, Resolution 89 of the UN Security Council adopted. Resolution 89 of the United Nations Security Council was adopted on November the 17th, 1950. The Council requested the Egyptian-Israeli Armistice Commission to pay attention to complaints about the eviction of thousands of Palestinian Arab nations. This resolution was produced after receiving complaints from Egypt, Israel, Jordan, and the Armistice Supervisory Commission's Chief of Staff regarding the implementation of the Armistice Agreement designed to end the Arab-Israeli War. The Council asked the two parties to respond to all the Commission's findings and repatriate Arabs believed to be entitled to return by the Commission. Turning to November 17, 1950, Tenzin Gyatso, the 14th Dalai Lama, was crowned head of the Tibetan state. Tenzin Gyatso is the 14th Dalai Lama. On November 17, 1950, he took the throne as head of the Tibetan state during the occupation of the area by the troops of the People's Republic of China. After the defeat of the Tibetan resistance movement in 1959, Tenzin Gyatso fled to India and established a Tibetan government in exile. Tenzin Gyatso was the first Dalai Lama to visit the Western world. In 1989, he received the Nobel Peace Prize. I'll end with November 17, 2013. Tatarstan Airlines Flight 363 crashed. Tartastan Airlines Flight 363 is a scheduled domestic passenger flight operated by Tartastan Airlines under the name Akbars Aero from Moscow to Kazan, Russia, on November 17, 2013, at 7:20 p.m. local time. The Boeing 737-500 crashed at Kazan International Airport while attempting to land, killing all 44 passengers and 6 crew members. This accident caused a temporary closure of the airport. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in the segment Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Malik Shoaib in Pakistan. Hello, Mr. Malik Shoaib from Jakarta, Indonesia. Thank you for monitoring and reception report. Keep listening. Special for you, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Sinar gemilang adalah permata.
You are listening to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia for today is on the National Student Paralympic Week will be a stepping stone for disabilities athletes on the international scene. The Ministry of Youth and Sport stated that the holding of the National Student Paralympic Week or PEPARNPENAS will be a stepping stone for athletes with disabilities to represent Indonesia on the international scene. That was said by Deputy for Culture of Sport Raden Isnanta during the closing ceremony of the implementation of PEPARNPENAS in Pulau Gadung Sports Center, Jakarta on Tuesday. Raden Isnanta said disability athletes must not be stopped in terms of coaching. After the implementation of PEPARNPENAS, the local government must prepare them for PEPARNAS 2020 in Papua later. If they are able to show their best and excel, these disability athletes will become the successors to the Indonesian relay batons in the future. Success in the 2018 Asian Para Games must be a reflection of Indonesia's achievements. He also encouraged local governments to regularly hold championships for athletes with disabilities in addition to coaching. This is to strengthen equality and inclusiveness. He said, Indonesian people must increasingly care about disability. Persons with disabilities need the same thing, the same treatment, and given the same opportunities. Deputy for Sports Culture Raden Isnanta said that although the PEPARNPENAS demanded that athletes display their best games, what was more important was to fight limitations. He also hopes that athletes will continue to pump their abilities after the implementation of PEPARNPENAS 2019 because the government will facilitate achievement athletes to represent Indonesia at upcoming international events. In the 2019 PEPARNPENAS, the East Java contingent came out as the overall champion in the National Student Paralympic Week or PEPARNPENAS 9, which took place from 6 to 12 of November 2019 in Jakarta. East Java was named the overall champion after collecting 20 gold, 2 silver, and 1 bronze medals with a total of 23 medals in the 6 branches. In the 6 branches competed, namely athletics, swimming, badminton, table tennis, chess, and boccia. In second place is Central Java with 13 gold, 10 silver, and 3 bronze. And the third position is occupied by Papua Province with 11 gold, 8 silver, and 7 bronze. The last gold obtained by East Java came from the disabled men's table tennis branch after defeating West Java, which was held at Pulau Gadung Sports Center Thursday night. And listener, that was my Indonesia for today.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we'll reply an email from our regular listener, Reginaldo Anunciacao in Brazil. He was monitoring German program on our broadcast. Thank you for your reception report and your email has been forwarded to German section. Thank you. As appreciation, we will play another beautiful song to you. Here is the song.
Seberapa pantaskah kau untuk ku tunggu? Cukup indah karirmu untuk selalu ku nantikan. Mampukah kau hadir dalam setiap mimpi burukku? Oh, mampukah kita bertahan di saat kita jauh?
Seberapa hebat kau untuk ku banggakan?
Service Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I will invite you to travel to the city of Yogyakarta in the province of special region of Yogyakarta to enjoy a hot drink called Wedang Tahu. Wedang Tahu also has several different names in several regions in Indonesia. For example, in Solo it is called Taho, in Surabaya Tahuo, while in Sumatra it is called Kembang Tahu. This hot drink originally was introduced by Chinese immigrants who entered Indonesia in the late 19th century.
Thank you.
Wedang tahu is made of soybean juice mixed saldus in ginger soup. How to make wedang tahu is quite simple. Soybeans that have been washed are soaked for approximately 8 hours, then rinsed and blended until smooth. It is then squeezed to get the juice and cooked. In the manufacturing process, wedang tahu does not use preservatives, so it is more delicious to drink directly. In the presentation, a bowl of wedang tahu is served with ginger sauce, which has a strong spice flavor and added with lemongrass, orange leaves, palm sugar, and strong pandanus. The warm taste of the slightly spicy ginger sauce is combined with the softness of the soybean curd. This drink has several benefits, such as increasing stamina and expelling colds and warming the body in the cold days. A bowl of wedang tahu is valued at 6,000 rupiah, and usually the seller starts selling their wares in the morning at 6 to noon at 1 p.m. and in the afternoon usually from 4 p.m. until the evening. The word wedang in Javanese means warm drink. In addition to warm in the throat, layers of tahu or tofu feel soft on the tongue. It is light and perfect for breakfast. If you are traveling to Yogyakarta, take a moment to taste this warm wedang tahu. It is not hard to find because there are in almost all corners of Yogyakarta. Well, that was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder with the topic wedang tahu or tofu drink from Yogyakarta. Tomorrow, we will meet again with other interesting topic. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta from Indonesia to the world.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Now we continue to reply an email sent by Igor Visannikov in Russia. Thank you for your effort to monitor our broadcast via frequency 3325 kHz, even though signal of our frequency was not quite good in your country. Special for you and listener Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, we will play another beautiful song for our regular listener around the world. Enjoy the song and happy listening.
Perlahan bintang
listener, here is Miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, today's Miscellany is about International Seafood Show of Asia. International Seafood Show of Asia was held at G Expo Kemayoran, Central Jakarta on November 13th until 16th. This exhibition was opened by expert staff of Ocean Ecology and Resources, Aryo Hanggono, and was attended by local and international business people. In his remark, Aryo said this seafood exhibition will encourage Indonesian fishery product increase, as well as prove to the world that Indonesian fishery has global competitiveness. Aryo added, Indonesian fish product keeps increasing annually, and it has been exported to many countries such as around America and Europe. Then, it is expected that the Indonesian fish product can target Middle East. Aryo further explained, Indonesia can reach the $5 billion transaction target. Therefore, all stakeholders were asked to jointly keep the continuity of products and human resources. International Seafood Show of Asia was collaboration of PT Krista Media Pratama, Indonesian Association for Fish Product Processing and Marketing or APSI, and Indonesian Cooler Rental Association or RP. This exhibition showcased various fish processed products, cooling equipment, and other supporting equipment needed for fish processing industry from many countries. APSI Chairman Budi Wibowo said that currently, more consumers are looking for ready-to-cook or ready-to-eat products. According to him, study by Research and Markets showed that the ready-to-cook and ready-to-eat market grew more than 10% year-on-year and is dominated by frozen products. Therefore, APSI, which has 100 fish processing units as members, had asked their members to begin focusing in developing ready-to-cook and ready-to-eat products, which some of them were displayed in this exhibition. Well, listener, that was Miscellany for today about International Seafood Show of Asia. I'm Borisa Vidadala. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. cinta, ku cinta dia. Hati yang berbunga pada pandangan pertama. Oh Tuhan tolonglah, aku cinta dia.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener, Voice of Indonesia. It is nice to meet you again in Music Corner. Today's edition, we'll discuss a song by Ihsan Tarore. Ihsan Tarore, a singer who started his career by winning a talent search event on one of national television. Now he has worked for more than a decade and re-released his single, which was released last September. The song, entitled Cobalah Bertahan, was composed by Tengku Syafiq. The song tells a touching story about the complexity of a love, how a love journey is always an obstacle, and every couple always hopes to continue to survive with his love. Through this song, the creator of the song, Tengku Syafiq, tells the listener to not easily give up in undergoing a relationship. Continue to struggle, survive, and be patient so that there are no regrets in the future. So, don't rush into making decisions when you are emotional. So, listener, here is Cobalah Bertahan by Ihsan Tarore. Happy listening!
Selama kita terus begini, bukan mencari dan terus mencari jalan terbaik demi cinta kita. Jangan engkau pergi untuk tinggalkanku. Cobalah bertahan, cobalah bersabar, untuk mengerti aku, mendampingi diriku. Meskipun terkadang kita tak sejalan, biar tiada lagi ada selama kita terus begini. Oh, ku kan mencari dan terus mencari jalan terbaik demi cinta kita. Jangan engkau pergi untuk tinggalkanku. Cobalah bertahan, cobalah bersabar, mengerti aku, mendampingi diriku. Meskipun cintaimu, cinta yang sulit ku temu, andai ku tak bersamamu lagi. Cobalah bertahan, bersabar.
Of Indonesia.
Aku tergoda melihat senyumanmu menghias raut. Segar bunga menyapa, berharap hayalkan menjadi nyata.
Voice of Indonesia.
It is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safira Adela. See you on the next English program.